In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today we celebrate on Orthodoxy Sunday the restoration of the icons, which happened in 841 after two brutal periods of iconoclasm, where many people, for the sake of the holy icons, were killed. Many were tortured. Many were exiled. Many were their lives were destroyed by the imperial government, which insisted on a policy of iconoclasm. Now, icons had been with the church from the very beginning. You can see some of the most ancient icons that have survived are in the catacombs of Rome, dating from the first century. These images of Christ, of the Mother of God, of the saints, and then also the illustrative stories of the scriptures. But the icon is not simply the image of Christ or of the saints made out of paint or whatever materials. The most important aspect of the icon is its theological aspect. And there are two parts of this. One, Christ, the Son of God, is the wisdom, the word, and the power of God. He is the image of God. Look in Colossians. He's the icon of God. And this is very important. Jesus is the fulfillment of that image, which God instills in each one of us. Because man, the human being, male and female, is the created image of God. The Son of God is the uncreated image of God, in whom and through whom and for whom all of creation came to be. And when man was when the Son of God, as by the will of the Father through the Holy Spirit, created man and walked with him in the garden, man was not only the type, but the manifestation of the presence of God in the midst of creation. Because that's what an icon does. It manifests the presence. It's not just philosophically, the West got all messed up around 800 years ago. And it lost the concept of the image, it lost the concept of the icon, it lost the concept ultimately even of the sacrament, and tried to figure it out as some kind of, give some kind of rational explanation to it, God indwelling and all these things. But if we look at this, at the theology of the scriptures, you have a very clear theology of the icon. God made man according to his own image, icon, and likeness. And that image is potential, is the dynamic potential. Just as an infant has the dynamic potential in his or her own nature to come to the fullness of manhood or womanhood, right? There's the spiritual dimension as well, to grow into the fullness of spiritual maturity. And what is that ultimate likeness? It's that when Christ comes again, we will be like him as he is. He will have raised us from the dead. and drawn us to himself, and we will be like him as he is. It's an eschatological dimension that's within each one of us. Because that aspect of our soul, that noetic aspect of our soul, is immortal. It is created, but it is the image of God that is within us, for each one of us to realize uniquely that potential that God has created us with particular gifts, with particular traits, with particular, all of the particulars that make us a unique person, and that allow us to live in communion with one another. Every human person is conceived, every human person is created as the image of God. When Christ came, he assumed our nature. The Son of God, the creator of our nature, became what we are, in order that we might fulfill that potential that he gave us in the beginning, to become like him. He became we are what we are, that he might make us what he is and like him. And this is what salvation is, to become like God, to become like the Son of God incarnate, who in his humanity, his deified humanity, sits on the throne with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Every human being is an icon of God, which has a rather important moral to it. We need to treat everybody with the same respect and love and honor with which we honor the wood and the paint, with which we honor the image of God who has revealed himself to us, has taken our very life, has taken our being, and fulfilled it and transformed it, and raises us up to be participants in his divinity. Because this is that ultimate dynamic potential that is instilled within us at the very instant of our conception. Even the image of God within us is certainly kind of focused in that spiritual aspect of our soul, the nous. But it's present in every aspect of our being as well. It's present in our rational mind because God is Logos, right? The Son of God is the Logos, the reason, the rationality. And it's even present in our bodies. The fathers say there's the greatest glory of God is a man fully alive. Because that reveals God, the beauty of the human person reveals God. Of course, this also brings us to what is that beauty? It's the divine shining through the created. We must treat one another with that same love, with that same reverence. Think of how, as Orthodox Christians, we bury the dead. We just don't throw them in a hole someplace and forget about them, or burn them up so we don't have to think about them. Rather, we have a long funeral, not only praying for them, but we come up and we venerate their body. How do you kiss the person in the casket? You cross and two bows. You kiss them, and then you make the cross and a third bow. That's how we venerate icons. Because even that very body is an icon of God. So, this concept of the image, concept of the icon, this is a fundamentally scriptural concept. Well, it doesn't talk about having paintings and things, but it also doesn't talk about scripture writings either. The church from the very beginning has used icons. Saint Luke, who wrote the gospel, painted the first icons of the Mother of God. They've always been with us. According to the ecumenical councils, the icon bears witness to the saint, not only to the sanctification of matter, because as I think we all know, and I think most of us have experienced, that by venerating an icon, we receive grace. We experience the presence. This is especially acute in those miraculous icons, like the Hawaiian icon, the Kursk icon that come to us. Whether they're exuding myrrh or not, it doesn't matter. We experience the grace of the divine presence expressed through that saint, expressed through the Mother of God. And part of this is that essential aspect of Orthodoxy. It's the essential and the essential content of the apostolic faith, that God took matter and filled it with himself and sanctifies it so that it becomes not only a part of that new creation, but that by venerating it, by partaking of it, we receive sanctification through matter, by the grace of the Holy Spirit. Most of the West doesn't understand this. Even the Catholic Church, which for so long held on to the to its understanding of the Eucharist, is losing it. But we hold fast because this is our salvation. The icons are sanctified. They bear the grace of God within themselves. Just as we are sanctified by water and the Spirit, by baptism, by chrismation, by partaking of the Eucharist, our very bodies become holy. That's why we bury them with honor when we die. we can remember to treat everyone with that same honor and respect that we treat the icons. Remembering that each person, no matter what state of being, what state of life, no matter how hard in their life has been, no matter how you know, rich and famous they are or are not, each person is uniquely that image of God. And worthy of our love. Because, and that itself, that veneration that we have for one another, is a means of communion. Not only with the other person, but our communion with God.